Thank you all for having me. I'm Guy and Mesa, thrilled to be here. This is a group of people that makes me feel very, very comfortable. I'm a content guy, but I started life as a cadet at the Air Force Academy, and I graduated having studied astronautical engineering and worked as an astronautical engineer as my first job. So data, technology, all of those kinds of things, I think for everybody, but especially for content owners, they are my friend, and you all feel like part of my family. It's a very nice feeling to be talking to the tech side of our audience. I'm a member now of the Academy Motion Pictures, and we're divided all into branches. And in our branch, I'm in the short film and feature animation branch, and certainly we're one of the most techie branches of creators that there are. So I'm really pleased to be here and feel like a fellow techie. I'm not sure if that works. Okay. This is a little bit about us. So that's just a bit about Shorts TV. We're a television network now that's available in 100 million homes globally. We are available on 100 million homes, four continents, and we have launched an app in the Netherlands and to all of our homes in the Netherlands, and we're currently also testing an app here in the United States, which I'm going to talk to you about. But for us, I'm going to talk first about short form, and it's an old frontier and a new frontier. We're going to talk about viewing habits and the data that we've gotten from our app, our test group, our beta audience in the United States, and how we're using that to build for the future. But that's just as an example. First, short form really is a new frontier. We've been around for quite a while. Short films have been around since the beginning of time, of cinema time. But short form as a part of an entertainment, a usual method of consumption for entertainment, is a new frontier. Linear TV, as you know, if you look at how the market's changing, linear TV is the least interactive of consumer choice and interactivity and engagement. On demand, what you want. We've just gone through the whole phase of on-demand content and having on-demand content. And now we've moved into a phase where on the go you can get what you want, where and how you want to get it. So all of these are starting to run together. For content, and as you can see in my business, in the content business, it's all movies, TV, mobile phones. All of them are merging together. Everyone is trying to figure out if they're different individual pieces of content platforms, or if they're all one content platform, and what are the different types of content that work on them. For us, for content makers, it's really the first, one of the most explosive and interesting times, I think, in the history of content. For the short form market, the YouTube generation really drives the video market here, especially in the U.S., but even overseas. YouTube and very short bits of content successfully shifted consumer attention to short form content altered the viewing habits of a generation. 10, 15 years ago, as you all know, there were a lot of people, Barry Diller, one of them, who all bet on the fact that all these kids who are watching, looking at the internet, reading newspapers on the internet, getting their news from Facebook, would grow up and start reading newspapers like all sane grown-ups do. And so they invested in all the, as you know, in 2007, 2008, all of newspaper stocks had declined in price. They were huge buying opportunities, and lots of big media execs said, kids are gonna wake up, they're gonna do it. It's gonna be something amazing because we've bought all these cheap newspapers, and there's this whole group that aren't reading newspapers, and they're gonna read them in 10 years. Well, so they all went, piled in, bought Newsweek, bought Time, bought everything. And we all know the end of that story. And that was that all those people lost every penny they put into all these fabulous franchises because they've now just turned into internet news purveyors. And maybe you can get the hard copy occasionally. And what we in the content industry have taken away as kind of an unwritten rule of content consumption is the media habits, the consumption habits, the platform usage habits that you develop as a youngster are probably not going to change. And that is really, really important. But we've learned it once. I think we've learned it. We've probably, hopefully, learned it again. But what YouTube has done is to reset the viewing habits of a generation so that now all people, not just weird guys like me who have short attention spans and love short content because we can't bear to make it through a long movie, now everybody has short attention spans. All of us, all under 25-year-olds, have had their entire ability to focus on content reset to short bits of time. It's enabled the rise of video streaming on mobile and across connected devices, and we also know that younger audiences drive dollars to platforms centered around consumer choice. There's a whole, all of us have seen something like this, but I saw it for myself. Recently, I was at a friend's house, and his 4-year-old daughter went up to the TV, was trying to change the channel, and was totally frustrated that it wouldn't move. And to her, it was broken. And she was very upset and started crying and asking her dad why the TV was broken. And so our habits and the habits of people, of our compatriots who are younger than we are, have completely changed. And here's a little data to show that, to back that up. YouTube user reach by age range, penetration in 2018, 96% 18 to 24, and then even up to 75 plus, YouTube penetration is 51%. Daily consumption of mobile video. This is percentage of Gen Z consumers. YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat, Facebook. You can see YouTube, Instagram, Snapchat are the big ones. And globally, here in America, what happens in our world, as we know, seems like the entire world. But shockingly, I live in the United Kingdom in London, and our company is based there. And to us, all those of us who live outside the United States, we realize that there is actually a world outside of Hollywood. There's actually a world outside of New York. And even there's a world outside of London. And this graph proves it. And that is in 2020, there will be about 200 to 300 million smartphone users, owners in the United States. In the world, there'll be 2.87 billion. So a little small percentage, less than 10% of smartphone users in the world will be in the United States. But it's a huge number of smartphone users. And as you know, here in the United States and overseas, the amount of time that people are spending on their phones is growing. It's now 47 minutes on average in 2019. If you look at India, Shorts TV has launched about a year and a half ago. In India, we are seeing 5 hours a day of of video content because no one has TVs and everything is watched on their mobile phone. Consumers are increasingly viewing on the go. It doesn't happen so much in the United States. In the United States, as we all know, when we're on the go, we're normally in a car. The rest of the world is not in a car, and when they're on the go, they're driving someplace. But it's much more significant outside the U.S., but you can see that this is in the U.S., even on the go in the city or sitting at a cafe or at work, there's a significant growth of on-the-go viewing. Overseas, it's enormous. 75% of rural mobile data traffic will be video by 2021. 75% is a lot. And we're seeing also a change in what people will accept. Bubble crushing. I don't know if you all went through the YouTube phase that was crushing bubbles, if you've been part of that, where you watch the thousands and thousands of videos of bubbles just being crushed, and thousands of videos of just about any bizarre thing, people falling off stuff, cats. But there is a shift underway, and that is this business of high-quality short-form content. Stories, plots, actors, actresses, all that's coming back to life on these platforms. YouTube, as you know, launched in February 2005, and then they launched YouTube Premium in 2014. They're fighting to figure out how to get it to work. They're not content people. Snapchat has had a great success with Discover, their Discover platform, and that is daily stories compiled by artists and publishers. They're real stories, real plots, real actors and actresses, very beautifully done. YouTube Premium has relaunched in 2016. Facebook launched Instagram Stories, and TikTok, of course, is killing the world in short, YouTube-y kind of, but not quite YouTube, but there's a little more of a thing going on with them, but with 1.5 billion downloads globally. It's amazing. And the industry here in this town is still just waking up to short-form content. High-quality short-form video isn't yet significant for any leading content platforms. You can see that iTunes and Netflix are at about 3%. Even YouTube, high quality short form on YouTube is less than 20% of their catalog. High growth potential for short form is in these markets where subscription and streaming service revenue is growing exponentially overseas. And most users are used to buying multiple streaming subscriptions, not just one. We're all here, probably everybody owns a cable subscription, a Disney Plus subscription if you have kids, a Netflix subscription if you have a wife or a girlfriend, and I don't know, probably two or three or four others. So everyone is getting used to the idea that they're buying mobile subscriptions. In India, they're starting to package subscriptions to apps, just like subscriptions to cable channels. And you buy a stick. It's called Tata Sky, one of our affiliates in India, packages apps on a Fire Stick. They say the value of the Fire Stick is 1,500 rupees. They sell it to you for $2.99, which is about $3 a month. You get Hotstar and Netflix and all the big apps all in one Fire Stick that you put into your computer. The truth is, none of the SVOD majors are focused on mobiles at all. And there's a reason for that. We have learned it was a painful lesson for us several years ago, but whenever you mix long-form content and short-form content, and Netflix proved recently again, you mix the two together, viewers who take a long time to scroll through any kind of content and pick, either Netflix or on a set-top box, it takes a long time to choose. Netflix says their average time from opening in 2018, the average time from opening the app to selecting something globally, average time was 18 minutes. So if you've just spent an average of 18 minutes selecting a piece of content, a 5-minute short is not interesting to you at all. And so that's really why none of them are investing in it, none of them are focused on it, because the selection process is a big barrier to selecting short form content when they're mixed. So we have recently launched a test of an app in the it's an iOS version of our app, but it's with our DirecTV subscription customers, and I just thought it would be very helpful for you to see what we see in short content. So I'm going to share with you some of our stats. Our guys are you'll see. They've fuzzied them a little bit, so it's not exactly DirecTV. You know, there's so many people involved, but I just wanted you to see what we're learning. So this is just a little introduction to the app. And we developed some guiding principles when we developed the app. First of all, in our view, short form categorically differs from long form content. Choice, as I described just a second ago, any kind of choice, if a viewer has to stop and pick anything, is death. The moment they pick, and it's true on YouTube too, if you stop and have to pick, you go, what am I watching? It's crazy. But so you just click, you just skip or like, that's it. Those are the only decisions on the Shorts TV app, and we think probably the only ones viewers will stand. As you know, the most successful short form content ever created is music. And so the second most successful is YouTube, but music is the most successful. And music is the same way. You skip, you like, you move through it, it keeps moving. If you have to pick a song, you think, ugh, it's too hard, too many choices. So if it's just easier, if you don't like it, you just keep pushing it out of the way. So we've developed it with that categorical difference. Long form, it's a big commitment. You don't want to just skip, you want to think about it, know about it, learn something about it, and make a decision. The other is that content never stops playing. We think that's an ironclad rule of short form content, that you only like it, skip it, favorite it. And then it has personalization. So part of our app and one of our key learnings from music especially is that all of us have different, not only what we kind of generally like, but you have moods or you want sometimes some happy films, some funny films, some jokes, or you want horror, but you don't want them all together. You certainly don't want them mixed together, and you don't skip around. And one of the other things we find is that no viewer ever just skips around between different types of content. So we gave our viewers the ability to create user-generated, user-created playlists just like on Spotify. So you can have comedy films or happy films or sad films or happy crime films is a genre. It's an amazing thing that you can do when you come up with a lot of films. The other issue was that we felt that you had to have interactivity. Watch where you left off. You create your own channels. You manage your own channels. And so these are some of the basic first functions that we gave to the users as part of this test. And then, of course, we gave them a high-quality content offering. We launched with 3,500 films, 3,500 movies. In the U.S., we have a beta audience of 500 users, and we launched 3,500 movies, which is about a little over 1,000 hours of film. So there's a lot there. It's just like on Spotify. You need lots and lots of film to go to keep just plowing into it. And we launched all of our originals. We launched award winners and stars. And this is what we see that is the result of that. And these are not exactly what we expected, but I just wanted to share with you a couple of key data points. First was that users are spending more than four times, or even five times the amount of time on the app per week as the average viewers are watching the DirecTV channels that they have in their package. So on our app, we go up not just one, two, or three times. We've gone up four, average over 6 months, four to five. It's more than four and a half to five times. They're spending two to 3 hours a week, depending on the on what's happening out in the real world. But it's been a very big shock to us, the amount of time they spend on the films. The average time per stream, and this is average across all streams, that they watch at least 60% of a film's duration. So users actually on mobile phones watch a longer percentage. All users across the database, the test group, watch more films than they do on TV, right? They watch longer and a greater percentage of every film than they do on TV. Our catalog, just so you have a sense of our catalog and how it compares to others, and this is just in genre, you can see we're the second one in, but we have enormous amounts of films in every genre, and we made the catalog available to them, to the audience. We gave a selection of films from across the audience. And we believe it is and for short contents, absolute variety and choice is an absolute essential element. The films watched by genre here were romance, comedy, and drama. And drama includes comedy, horror, some horror, thriller. But one of the other things we didn't know how to graph, but is very true, is that most of our customers stay in their lane, right? So the horror guy, he may watch procedural crime dramas for a while, but you know you can graph them out and see exactly what they're doing. But he doesn't say, ooh, romantic comedies look fun to me. So we don't know if they're men or women, but there are certainly a group that watch romance and animation and not heavy romance and not sex, but just kind of happy, romantic, and animated type films. There's another group, and those and comedy. Comedy kind of serves as a bridge between both sides. Drama people sometimes watch comedy. Romance people sometimes watch comedy. But the procedural crime dramas and the tough thrillers, the horror, all of those kind of things, there isn't a bleed through from the top guys to the bottom guys. So we're seeing what we look at as two basic streams of viewers who watch very heavily within their lane and don't go outside their lane almost ever. And in fact, I had one of our app guys look through for me what the person looks like. Give me some people that watch, do they watch animations and crime dramas? And so we've had trouble finding people that really, once they may watch a few animations, they may watch horror animations, but they never switch into like happy animations. There's just it's like a chasm. Lessons from our data. Our users engage more with mobile than linear TV. Absolutely, totally, and it's with short content. Short form content's viewing state differs from long form. It's much more a lean-in experience. We're adding now, after our beta and before we launch the actual consumer launch, we're building all kinds of functionality to allow you to share, to allow you to watch together, to allow all kinds of comments and playlist development and follow each other's playlists, all kinds of things that are, some of them are from music, some of them from other places, but we've seen very much that our users, our audience, have made a big deal about wanting to be more involved in the content. Another thing that we're adding is a button that they can like or favorite or contribute to someone's cause. So in shorts, there are lots of people who will do a short documentary about a cause someplace that they hope will interest their audience, and so we're allowing the audience to interact directly with the filmmakers. And this has been expressed again and again, that they love that film, they'd like to support the next film by this guy, or they like this series. So we're seeing a lot of pent-up demand for an ability to go, and we call it breaking the TV. They want to break the TV, break the screen, and be directly in touch with that guy and say, wow, this young lady who made a film about the rainforest in the Amazon, how do I contribute to her charity? Or how do I contribute to this guy's next movie? We see that users are very loyal to their favorite genres. And technology finally gives users a new type of viewing experience suited to short form. It's the first time that we've ever seen anything like this, that we've ever been able to say that we actually, our audiences on their phones are watching more content than they watch on their normal channels on TV. Here are a couple things, and this is just to show you how we've used the data and what's come out of it. So a couple of projects that are coming out of it for us. One of them is we're in Latin America. We're in on DirecTV and all across Mexico in Latin America. And as we have talked to our audiences here, there, it was surprising, honestly. On TV, we have a very male oriented audience. Here, we've now developed quite a big audience around romance and relational type content. So we are working with a big producer in Latin America to reinvent soap operas with them. They're the biggest producer of telenovelas in Latin America. And so we're creating a series of short, but you know, they're very popular. There's a big difference between a soap opera in the U.S. and a soap opera overseas. We're looking for 10-minute mini, what we've now called mini novellas, that we're going to trial first in Latin America. We're shifting them from longer form to compelling short form, snackable content. You get every day your soap opera. We're in the process of selecting the. We're running a competition. We're creating 2, 3, 4 streams, and then the winner. All of them will be released every week, every day, sorry, for a week, and then the winner, so there's an episode every day in each of the series, and then the winner most viewed gets their second series made. We're experimenting with genre conventions. We're using the data that we get from the time for, you know, we get, you start seeing very clear breaks. One of the things that you see on mobile phones is you get a lot of data about when they spin off. So we're now starting to rebuild our how we look at how we change the plots. We have a certain few seconds at the beginning to hook them. We have so many more spin off in the next X amount of time. There are 3 or 4 breakpoints that we've seen within the. In the context of any particular movie. And so we are working with our content partner who doesn't have the data. This is a series of co-productions, and so we're building scripts that we're at least experimenting with how we hook people across those divides. All of the, and we're using telenovelas and soap operas really as that experiment to try to see how we're able to pull them through, and if the scripts, what are the hooks in the scripts that work. And the reason we're using telenovelas, the other reason, they're fabulously addictive, they need to be redone, and they're also really inexpensive. We're making them for incredibly low prices, so it gives us all kinds of ability to trial all kinds of authors and all kinds of stars, all of whom get the right if the films are picked up for a full series, for a full telenovela, they get the right to star in the film or to write the film or be the showrunner. So it's become quite a big entry point for telenovelas in Latin America as we roll this out. We've started the auditions now. It's the company we're working with there is, as I said, is the biggest maker of telenovelas, and it's become quite a thing to be part of this because they've said now that they're going to commission their next set of telenovelas out of these winners of this initial competition. The second area, so first we're building out our our romantic, based on the data we've got, we're building out our romantic offering and making it stickier. The second is that we're doubling down on social features and interactivity, as I mentioned. Users want to share, edit, watch, create their own clips, do all kinds of interactive things. We're giving them as much as we possibly can the ability to do that. They want to comment, react, rate films. There is a very big aspect to any kind of short-form content that there's a much greater feeling of community than not. And so we think community works, and we're building all kind of features to allow that community to build. Data collection allows better content choices, in our view. And that's it. There is a... all of this data, if I were to be asked, we've been very excited. There have been some very successful folks here in Los Angeles who have come up with an idea to build fully formed, like Athena when she sprang from the head of Zeus, companies that would attack this mobile space. And we have been very excited about all the kind of people that are joining us and creating excitement in the space, because we see huge amounts of excitement. We see huge uptake in India, huge uptake in Latin America, huge. Here it's interesting. In those countries, it's absolutely phenomenal. But I've been asked often to comment on other ventures, and so I just want to point out that our data and their project seem to be going in totally different directions. But that's only, I don't know. It could be so it's a very interesting experiment also, and it's one that we're paying a lot of attention to, and it'll be very interesting to see if what works in Hollywood works in America and maybe even works in the rest of the world. We don't know. Thank you.
Carter Pilcher, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you, Carter.